Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Golf Talk Live. I'm your host, Ted Odorico, and it is November 21st, 2013. Got a great show for you this evening. Got a couple things. I have a guest coming on shortly. He's not quite here yet, but Mr. Jim Vernez, the owner and creator of RV Golf Club, he'll be joining me shortly. And also going to do another episode of The Good, Bad, and The Ugly. Haven't done one of those in a while, so I thought I would give you a little bit of a treat and do one of those tonight. But let me just quickly remind everybody a couple of things. First off, if you want to call into the program and either talk to myself or any of the guests, you can certainly do so. The number to call is area code 646-716-4667. Or you can email me at any time at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com, and I'll be more than happy to read out your questions on the air, or just if you want to get in touch and let me know how you feel about the program. Maybe you've got some suggestions for some upcoming guests and want to just get in touch with me that way. You can certainly do so by email. Also, would appreciate it if you would visit the page on Facebook at facebook.com/golftalklive blog and throw a few likes our way. Certainly appreciate those that you've done so far, and would appreciate some more. And I kind of joked around a little bit last week about my Twitter account. I don't do a lot of tweets. Obviously, I do tweet about the program a little bit, just basically letting you know some of the upcoming guests and so forth. But I appreciate some of the people that started following me since I've been sort of plugging that a little bit. And just to remind you, those that haven't clicked on and followed me, it's my Twitter handle is Ted and Buck CEO, and I would certainly love it if you'd follow, and I'll certainly do my best to keep you updated on the program. And I do respond to direct tweets. If you have a question or something you want to do it through Twitter, I'll certainly be more than happy to answer it. I'll be honest, I just don't do a lot of it, and it's not an issue of not wanting to. I'm probably just not as good at it as some of you out there, but I am trying. But I'm up over, I think, 600 followers now, so that's not too bad for somebody that's not a big Twitter person. But I appreciate those of you that started following me in the last few weeks, since I've been really giving that a little bit of a plug. So I appreciate that. That Twitter handle again is Ted and Buck CEO. Also, I've done a few updates on the website recently at www.golftalkliveblog.com, updated with some new books of some of the past guests that were on, and also added another product on there, which you've been hearing about over the last few weeks. As I said, my guest isn't quite ready yet, hasn't contacted the program. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a couple things here first. I'm not going to start the good and bad and the ugly segment quite yet, because I know sure as guns I will, and get it going, and the guest will be ready. So what I'm going to do, though, is you may recall last week I had a gentleman that came on towards the end of the program, Mark Nace. He is the executive director of the Southeastern Collegiate Golf Tour, and he had actually contacted me a little while ago through an associate of mine, and just wanted to make aware of some things that he's doing with his program, with his golf tour. And he's got an upcoming event coming here in the northwest part of Florida, out in actually just outside of Pensacola. It's the Hardy's Old River Optimist Collegiate Tournament, and that's coming here in December 27th to the 30th at the Perdido Bay Golf Course outside of, actually in Pensacola. And just to give you a quick idea, the Southeastern Collegiate Golf Tour is a nonprofit organization which allows NCAA collegiate golfer to be a member of an associate that qualifies them to participate in highly competitive tournaments, with an opportunity to play in some of the finest facilities that professional golfers enjoy. It's got a great atmosphere, set up very similar to a lot of the tour events, and the true spirit of camaraderie and competition really sets up a barrier that was once a barrier for lifetime experience for collegiate golfers, and now affords them an opportunity to play professional tournament experience with, of course, the USGA rules of golf and conditions of competition that are normally found in a professional tour venue. This is their fourth year, and they, on an average, get 41 states involved from 9 countries, and a number of players that have played on other professional tours that have come back and joined the Southeastern Collegiate Golf Tour. So it's a great group of tournaments. And actually, Mark is going to come on the program December 5th. He's going to talk a little bit more about it, some of the upcoming tournaments in 2014. But I just wanted to give it a plug. And I'll give it another plug a little bit later on in the program. And again, that's the Southeastern Collegiate Golf Tour run by Executive Director Mark Nace. And the next tournament coming up December 27th to the 30th here in 2013, sort of rounding out the year, is the Hardy's Old River Optimist Collegiate at Perdido Bay Golf Course in Pensacola, Florida. So make sure, for those of you that are interested and want to participate, there is still some room. Right now he has 48 players registered at this time and looking for a maximum of 72. So if you're a collegiate player and you're interested in joining up, you can certainly get in touch with Mark Nace, who is the executive director, and you can reach him either by emailing him at mark@secgt.com, or you can give him a call at area code 850-390-2001, and I'm sure he'll be more than happy to help you out with the registration. Like I said, I'm just waiting here for my guest to contact Golf Talk Live, and we'll begin that segment of the program. But let me just really quickly, I want to take this opportunity. I'm going to get into it a little bit more as we progress through the end of the season here. We're obviously, this is going to be the last show that I'm going to do for the month of November. I'm going to take a break next week, obviously being Thanksgiving week, so I'm not going to broadcast during that week. I know everybody will be with their families and so forth, and are just going to be having a great time getting together with loved ones and things like that. So obviously I'm not going to do a program. I'm also not going to do a broadcast for 2 weeks in December, which will be, I believe, the week of Christmas and obviously the week of New Year's, which will be the last 2 weeks of December. But I am going to have shows on the 5th, the 12th, and the 19th of December. I've got guests blocked out for that, and I'm already booked now, actually right up until the end of February. We are booked here in Golf Talk Live with guests coming each and every week. So we'll be starting back up. I believe the first show in the new year startup will be January 9th, and the last one this year, rounding out 2013, will be December 19th. So that'll be the last show that I'll be doing for 2013, and we'll take a couple of weeks break for Christmas and let everybody have some good times with their family and so forth before we get back at it on January 9th. And I'm also going to be going to the PGA show. So for any of you that have tuned in that may be heading down that way and you want to, I'm not going to be an exhibitor this year, but I'm going to be certainly attending the show. I'm not sure the exact dates I'm going to go yet, but I'll certainly make mention of it before I close off this year for those of you that might be wandering around as well and might want to say hello. And I'm definitely going to make sure I've already had a number of invitations to stop by some booths of some of the guests that have been on the program that are going to be exhibiting down at the PGA show in January of next year. So I'm definitely going to be going down to that event and checking that out. There's a lot of great exhibitors down there, and certainly have made some good friends along the way and want to go down and say hello. So if you happen to be down there, I'll be traveling around through and certainly would love to say hello and meet up with some of the people that have been on the program here. The other thing that I want to talk about very briefly here, you've heard me mention several times, probably over the last month or so, one particular segment I'm going to be starting in the new year called Coach's Corner. I won't get into all the specifics right now, but basically what that is going to entail, and this is an opportunity really for you, the listener, to take part in this, and I'm really hoping for some great audience participation. We've got some of the coaches lined up already, and we'll be coming out with a schedule for that shortly. But basically what I'm going to do is some of the coaches that have been on here and the great teaching professionals that have been on Golf Talk Live over this past year and some new ones that are going to be joining in the ranks in the new year, basically what I'm going to be doing is starting the program in March, I believe is when I'm going to officially launch, and I think March 6th is going to be the first show. And essentially what it's going to be is an hour of talking, getting an opportunity to talk to a number of great coaches and teaching professionals from all across really the United States and abroad that are going to come together. There'll be probably two or three of them at a time per show, and we'll take an hour where we'll answer, you know, calls, emails, that sort of thing, give you an opportunity, the listeners that have listened to some of these young men and women over the last year and some of the more seasoned professionals that have come on the program as well, give you an opportunity as just your weekend warriors to call into the program and talk to some of these coaches and get some firsthand and really some great advice on your game. And we'll hope that you'll participate in that. And we're going to have a few prizes in that for those of you that call into the program and things like that. So it's going to be a great opportunity to talk with some of the teaching professionals that have been on the program. And as I said, we'll have some new ones along the way. Great opportunity, as I said, to connect with them. And you may just want to even call in and say hello. That's fine, too. But we really want to progress with this, and I think this is sort of the natural progression of the program as we want to get into more of an interactive format. Certainly, we'll continue to have a weekly guest as well that will come on and talk about some new things going on in the game from the teaching perspective through equipment and obviously through the physical fitness end as well. We're going to have some more coaches that specialize in that area of the sport as well. So certainly want to stay tuned for that. And as I said, I believe March 6th is going to be the launch of Coach's Corner. Trying to finalize the schedule right now with some of the participants. And as I said, that'll be an hour-long segment. The show is 2 hours long, so we'll probably take up the first hour with the Coach's Corner segment, and then I'll have my guests come on the latter part, and then some other things that we may do along the way as well. One of the other things that we're going to be doing, and this one is still a little bit in the works, but I mentioned this the last few programs. I'm also going to be featuring another program, still under the Golf Talk Live brand, but this is going to be on its own show, and it's not going to be here on Thursday evenings. It'll be under a different date and time. I'm not sure, and that's what I'm still working on right now. We're doing the market research here just to kind of get an idea of what some feedback. But this segment is going to be basically the women of golf, and what it's going to encompass is really very similar to what I'm doing now, but it's going to be geared to the ladies out there, not just the teaching professionals and business types that are in the golf business, but really catering to the women golfer out there who's really struggling to find their own identity. It's really been something that I've thought about for a long, long time, and I've been very, very fortunate to get some positive feedback from a number of ladies in the golf profession that are very supportive of it. In fact, the LPGA Foundation is going to help promote that and help coordinate some of it as well. And I've been very, very blessed to have a real seasoned veteran of the LPGA, Mrs. Cindy Miller, is going to be joining me to be involved in the project as well. So I'm really excited about that. And that's probably going to happen around the same time as the Coach's Corner time frame in March sometime, I believe. We may do it earlier. I'm not sure yet. It just depends on how we get things finalized here. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be an opportunity for women to not only listen to some great female teaching professionals and other business types in the golf industry, but also give them a chance to interact with them as well, phone in, ask questions, and really tackle some of the issues that women still face in the golf industry. There are a lot of them, some good, some not so good. We're going to try and tackle them all in the Women of Golf. So that's going to be under the Golf Talk Live brand as well. So I will give you more details as that gets finalized. But I've got a lot of great things happening in the new year. Got some great guests lined up right off the bat in January. So I hope you'll continue to come back and join us for that Golf Talk Live. Of course, we're still going to keep our main show here on Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. I hope that you continue to join me here live from 6 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time here on Golf Talk Live. I want to take this opportunity as well to really thank a lot of the individuals that have come on the program since its inception, and I've had a lot of really great feedback from all of you, and I would just like to take this moment, since I have a few minutes here, just to really thank all of you for coming on the program and making this this inaugural year very exciting for me. I've had a lot of great feedback, not only from you folk, but also from those tuning in. Get a lot of positive feedback through some of the different social media sites that I'm involved with, Facebook being primarily the one I use the most, but also through LinkedIn as well. I've had some great feedback from people that have tuned into the programs. There's been a number of great guests that have been on here, everything from teaching professionals to we've had some authors, we've had some a few mental coaches here to talk about the mental side of the game, and also we've had a couple here that talked about the fitness end of it, and we're certainly going to have some more. I always believe in getting different perspectives and not just sort of dialing in on one or two individuals in that area. So it's always good to get a fresh perspective in that area. But we've got a lot of great guests coming up in the new year as well, and I just want to thank all of the past guests that have been on. I know some of you will be coming back in either the new year or years to come, participating in the Coach's Corner segment, and I appreciate those of you that have already signed on for that. Just to talk about a couple things that as the season sort of winds down on the PGA Tour and LPGA Tour and so forth, I'm really looking forward to and excited with anticipation of what's going to happen in 2014. There was certainly some disappointments this year, despite having really, I would consider, a good year for Tiger, as an example. Of course, didn't win any more majors, which I know is, I'm sure, a thorn in his side. But, nevertheless, winning five tournaments and so forth on the PGA Tour, that's not a bad year in my books. I still think that Tiger struggles a lot with his game, not so much the physical side, but the mental side of his game. I don't think he's quite back yet, and understandably so. I think that to have happened what happened in the past and expect that you're going to just breeze through that in a couple of years it is not going to happen. When you're at that level, and I don't want to get into it too much, but when you're at that level of a sport, and you make some mistakes in your life, and it's basically your dirty laundry is aired out in the media, it's going to take a while to recoup from that. And despite him seeming like he's back to normal, I don't believe he really is. I think that the wounds are much deeper, and understandably so. But I'm sure as time goes on, he will continue to progress, and I'm quite certain that there's a few good majors left in Tiger, and I certainly wish him much continued success. And I'm a firm believer in forgiveness. As I said, I don't condone what Tiger may or may not have done and what was discussed in the media, but I'm certainly not going to jump on somebody's back and beat them when they're down. And I believe in moving on and moving forward. And I know that Tiger has been trying to do that, but I think it's going to take a little while. But, I hope that Tiger continues to rack up the wins. And I certainly hope that he is in much more contention next year in the majors and perhaps maybe wins one or two of them along the way. So, much continued success with Tiger. I'm still waiting for my guest, and I'm kind of just in thought here. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to proceed with my other segment until Jim contacts the program. I'm not sure. Maybe there's a I think sometimes what happens is they get confused with the time. We're on Central Standard Time. Some people are on Mountain or Eastern Standard Time, and I think they get that confused. And I usually try to clarify that, but sometimes they misunderstand. So that sounds to me like could be the case. So what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead with the good, the bad, the ugly segment that I had planned for a little bit later in the program. And I'm going to proceed with that. And hopefully by the time we're finished that, Jim will have contacted the program and we'll be able to proceed with his segment. But before I start that, let me just introduce once again a great putting tool, Star Putter.
Hi, this is Ted from Golf Talk Live. Are you looking to make more putts, shoot lower scores, and just play better golf? Now you can with a Star Putter putting tool. Simply use the tool 5 minutes before your next round and make 3 to 5 more putts. Practice with Star Putter 15 to 20 minutes, 3 times a week, and lower your handicap after just 10 rounds. Star Putter putting tool, available now at starputter.com.
Okay, and if you want to hear more about the Star Putter Putting Tool, you can visit my website at the Golf Talk Live website at www.golftalkliveblog.com. And you can find out how to get your hot little hands on one, especially with Christmas coming up, guys. You definitely want to get one of these. It's obviously endorsed as well by a number of different players, but it's a great product, very, very inexpensive, but as the infomercial describes, it's surely going to help help your game. And it's endorsed by really a top-notch instructor, Chuck Cook. So you definitely want to check out. I've included the promotional video where Chuck talks a little bit about the Star Putter Putting Tool. So you want to make sure you check that out. If you visit the Golf Talk Live website at golftalkliveblog.com and just search under products, it's the first one up there. You can scroll down, and there's a short video infomercial there that features Chuck Cook. So definitely want to check that out. And for those of you that are still trying to figure out what you're going to do about getting that golfer in your family a great gift, that's certainly one of them. I'm sure that they'll get a lot of good use out of that, and everybody needs a little help with their putting. As I said, I'm going to proceed now with the segment, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I did it a little differently this time. For those of you that have never aren't familiar with this segment, I'll be honest, I stole the terminology from, of course, Clint Eastwood, a famous Clint Eastwood movie, The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. And I just thought it was kind of an interesting segment to have every once in a while. And as I said, I did a little bit more in the beginning as the show was starting off. And every once in a while, I try to throw one in there just to make it interesting. And part of the three topics that I had, I really struggled with until today, and I'll tell you that in a second. It actually was under the ugly category, and but I'm going to read off the other two first. I'm going to start, of course, with the good, and there's really really three tips under the good category, and I'm just going to sort of read them off here, because I think in this day and age, I think the more tips that we can get and relay out to the listeners out there, the better. And the first one is, of course, good nutrition. In this day and age, I can't emphasize enough, and I'm sure if you ask virtually any top teach professional or golf coach out there, nutrition is right there at the top. I mean, it's great to understand the mechanics of the swing, and it's great to be able to hit great golf shots, but if you're not taking care of yourself physically with good nutrition, and of course exercise goes along with that, you're certainly not going to play your best golf. You know, the days of you know, eating chili dogs at the turn and that sort of thing, I think are really falling by the way. So I think people appreciate, for obvious reasons, it's not going to give you the energy you need to propel yourself for the nine remaining holes on the second half of your round. And it just doesn't make good sense. And that's not to say that, you know, you can't have something like that once in a while. But when you're out playing golf and you're playing, you know, especially in some sort of competitive tournament on a weekend with maybe it's a corporate event, the last thing you want to be doing is eating a lot of fatty foods and things like that on the golf course. So it's always good to stock up, take a few things with you. It's also good you know, certainly use some supplements. Obviously, you want to make sure that you check all of that out with your physician in case, you know, especially for some of your older golfers out there that may be on certain medications and things like that, you want to make sure that some of the supplements out there that are available, I think most of them are pretty safe, but there are some out there that may conflict with any medication you may be taking. And so you want to make sure you check with your doctor and before, you know, taking any supplements and things like that. But you want to also make sure that you're drinking a lot of water. I can't emphasize this enough. I know a lot of golf courses have the cart girl coming around and serving refreshments like beer and things like that. A lot of them are still doing that, and there's nothing wrong with that. I personally don't during the round because I like to play my best, and I just find that, you know, if I'm having a couple of beers out there on the golf course, especially down here in the south, if any of you play down here in the southeast part of the United States, it gets pretty steamy in here during the summer months. And, you know, it just makes me a little bit more lethargic, and You know, certainly wouldn't have a lot of them out there, but, you know, if you're going to have them, that's fine, but, you know, try and pace yourself. And I prefer to enjoy a nice cold, you know, beer when I get back to the clubhouse and, you know, talk about the round and things like that. And that's where I like to do it, but that's just a personal preference. You know, I'm not knocking anybody that chooses to do it, but I think this day and age, to really maximize your best golf, I think you really need to be more health conscious, and good nutrition is certainly, you know, among it. So there's things like supplements, certainly energy bars, hydrate with water as much as possible. If you are going to have, you know, some sort of an alcoholic drink when you're out there, make sure that you, you know, top it up with water afterwards. Sort of the rule of thumb, especially when you're drinking things or even coffee, anything with caffeine in it as well, it's always a good idea that if you're going to have a coffee out there, that you drink at least a full 8-ounce glass of equivalent of 8-ounce glass or more of water to sort of counteract, because as you know, coffee is a diuretic, so you want to make sure that you're not out there with the shakes. Now I know a lot of people drink decaffeinated coffee, but even still, it has very modest amounts of caffeine, and you know, if you're drinking a couple of cups out there, it's always a good idea to prevent from being dehydrated. So drink some water. As I said, energy bars and things like that. So you want to make sure that you follow a good nutrition, and there's a lot of great nutrition plans out there. You just simply have to, you know, Google it on the internet, or certainly visit some of the, you know, if you have a club pro that you're working with, a lot of times they'll post it on their websites or can make it available. Certainly a good nutrition guide to follow. A lot of the golf courses and that as well sell not so much the supplements, but they may have some of the energy bars and things like that in their pro shops and you know, in their restaurants and things like that. Sometimes you can get that as well. So, and certainly you obviously want to keep the electrolytes topped up. So always good. I like to have something like normally I would have a Gatorade, but I've now switched. I'm going to start drinking 9-Iron as my good buddy Billy Casper and Kent Novus shared with us a couple of weeks ago. I want to make sure that for those of you that want to get that hydration while you're playing, make sure that you switch and get a 9-Iron hydration sports drink. They are very, very good, very refreshing. And the great thing about that is there is no caffeine in the product. It's got a lot of vitamin B and other great supplements in the drink, but no caffeine, so you're not going to get that hopped up feeling or that sort of you know, crash effect later on. So those are some great things that you need to do in being hydrated and so forth. One of the other things that I wanted to throw in the good category as well was really I saw a great tip in one of the magazines, and I thought I would share it with you. I enjoy reading some of the tips that you see in different publications. This one happened to be in Golf Digest. I think it's one of the – I'm not sure which edition this is in, but this is actually the November issue, so this is the most current issue that I've got. But it was actually put in under – I think it's on page 66 of the November issue, and it's under safety instructions. And it's really what to do when you hear four, and which is obviously – terminology used on the golf course when somebody hits an errant shot. The proper thing to do is to yell out four and fairly loudly so that those that may be in adjoining fairways or further up can certainly hear that and take the appropriate precautions. And this was submitted, I guess, in here by Grant Rogers, who is the director of instruction at Bandon Dunes Golf Resort in Oregon. And he offers really a three-step safety tip on what to do when a golf ball is heading your way. Of course, the most important is to cover your head so you can live to tell about the tale, and he puts that in there as well. But really, the first thing that you want to do is when you hear somebody yelling out four is immediately turn your back on the source of the warning. So if it's coming you know, from your right, you want to turn towards your left, as an example, so that your front of your body is away from that area. And this is something that you're not going to do. You know, it's going to be a fairly quick and repetitive. So I'm reading these out obviously a little slower just to let you know, but these are things that you're obviously going to do fairly quickly, but I just want to make sure that you understand. And it's really a great tip. So first thing you want to do is immediately turn away so that your back is now facing where the the source of the warning. So if it's coming out from sort of the right-hand side of where you are, then you want to immediately sort of turn to the left so that your back is to the right. And that's the first thing you want to do. The second thing you want to do is you want to really crouch down as low as possible and as quickly as you can into a ball, really, with your head down. The idea is to make yourself as small a target as possible. If you're standing up and you get whacked in the back of the head, it's certainly not going to feel very good, but can potentially be very, very dangerous. Certainly, I'm sure this doesn't happen a lot, but I'm sure, depending on where you got hit, it could be quite consequential. So what Grant suggests here is that, number one, turn immediately away from where the source of the warning, crouch down in a ball as quickly as possible to create a small target as possible, and lace the fingers of your hands, this is step three, lace the fingers of your hands together and cover the lower part of your head just above the neck, and that's really the most vulnerable part of your skull. And obviously the reason, as I just mentioned, that you want to do that is you want to be able to create a small target. You want to turn away because the front side of your body is really the most vulnerable, particularly for guys, obviously. You don't want to get hit in the face, but obviously below the waist, you don't want to get a shot there. Otherwise, you're going to feel it for some time and potentially cause a lot of other problems. So those are really three great steps that you need to do next time you hear somebody yelling four. And if your buddies are sort of gawking around to see where it's coming from, at least you know that you're going to follow these steps and be a little bit safer out there. After all, if you're in an adjacent fairway and somebody hits a tee shot, that ball's coming really quick and could potentially, depending on where it hits you, at the very least, it's going to certainly put a goose egg on you, but could potentially be even life-threatening depending on where it hits you on your body. So that's a great step. And Grant Rogers, again, the Director of Instruction at Bannon Dunes Golf Resort in Oregon, thanks for submitting that into the Golf Digest. And I was glad to be able to share that with you guys out there. Just some great advice, really, to take in a case like that. So the next time you hear somebody yelling four, you'll know what to do and take some precautions. And the third one I want to put in the good, we've had a number of people on the program. A lot of the teacher professionals now are getting into this, but a lot of them who came on the program this year, particularly I can think off the top of my head, a young lady who came on was actually my very first guest, Nicole Weller, who came on the program. She was actually one of the first guests. She came on a little bit later as well, who works with kids. And now she works primarily with all ages, of course, but she works quite diligently with very, very young kids in her program. But there was another great tip that was in the same edition of Golf Digest that struck me kind of interesting. And it's really, as John Elliott Jr., Golf Digest 50 Best Teacher, talks about, it was an article put in by Jeff Patterson, and it's called The Four Rules for Teaching Juniors. Now, this is obviously really adhering to a little bit older kids, but nevertheless, some great advice here. So I just wanted to read this out to you very quickly, the four rules of teaching juniors. The first rule is, and I talk about here, kids learn more really from not knowing. So let them make mistakes and try not to tell them, they're doing something wrong. Only offer ways ways to take what they're already doing and make it better. So in other words, rather than being critical, especially when they're first starting out, the last thing that you need to be doing, whether you're a teacher professional or you're just maybe a parent that's taking your youngster out there to play, the last thing you need to do, especially if they're really young, is to start being critical of the way they're playing. Let them go out first and foremost. Let them have fun. And I'm sure most of the teachers out there and instructors that have been on the program and those that may be tuning into the program would probably agree, first and foremost, let the kids have fun. Let them go out there and swing and just enjoy, the atmosphere and get excited about the game. If they're bombarded too much with negative thoughts and that they're not doing this right or they're not doing that right, they're more apt to just give up and say this is just too difficult and not follow through. So if you're wanting your youngster to maybe be the next Tiger Woods, let's say, or Phil Mickelson out there, certainly give them some latitude and some room there starting out. Number two, until they get to high school, most kids aren't really committed to the game. you know, they're just more or less dabbling. It's really not, if it's not fun, they won't keep doing it. And this sort of goes to the point I was just making. You know, too often we create a paranoid, you know, observers who think they're not allowed to just be themselves. And really what that's saying is that just let the kids have fun. Don't be super critical, because if it's not fun, they're not going to come back out and do it. So if you want them to continue with the sport and to enjoy the game as much as you do, or even perhaps more, or even maybe play competitively, make it fun, make it interesting, and make it enjoyable. And that goes for the instructors as well, not just the parents out there. The third one is, if you tell your kids he or she wants to, if your kids tell you that he or she wants to go hit balls, by all means, drop everything and get out there and do it. Don't make a bunch of excuses. If they show the initiative and they want to get out there and want to take up the sport or just want to go and hit some balls at the range, if you've got the time, get out there with them and do it. And even if you don't hit them yourself, if you just want to go watch, and it's certainly not what you're really doing is that they're not asking you to teach them at that particular time. And I'm referring to the parents here, obviously, right now. You know, parents, they're not necessarily asking you to teach them unless they specify that. Just go out and watch them. Let them have fun, as I said, and just let them go out there and hit some balls on the range and kind of get the feel, lay of the land. And obviously, as they progress and show more of an interest, you know, then you can worry about signing them up for some lessons. And obviously, you teachers out there already know all of this, but just as a reminder, first and foremost, let the kids have fun. And initially, when they're first getting their feet wet, as it were, kind of keep the instruction to a minimal. And just let them sort of gravitate to the game. And they'll ask you if they have questions. If they're not doing something right, they're certainly going to ask you questions and want to involve you at that point. And the fourth one is, you know, golf is better when you learn it with a friend. There's certainly protection in numbers, and the discussions will certainly be on their level. You know, it'll certainly help them to stay engaged and might even get them to be hooked. So, you know what, it's maybe a good idea as well to let them bring a friend or a buddy along, you know, to the driving range when they want to go, and just let them have some of their time. You can sit back and watch, or if they're a little bit older and you can leave them on their own, you know, maybe you can just drop them off for an hour or so, let them have some fun on the driving range or the putting green or whatnot, and just let them bring a friend along, and you know, maybe they can play some games and make it a little fun while they're out there. So some really four great tips that I wanted to share with you. And rules for sort of teaching juniors. There's a lot of great programs out there right now, First Tee and a lot of other programs that are available, and you can certainly search those out with your local teacher professional. They'll certainly be more than happy to point you in the right direction. But that's something that I wanted to put under the good category tonight, were those three things: good nutrition, how to protect yourself when you're out there playing on the golf course and somebody hits an errant tee shot. You want to be able to protect yourself when you hear that four-letter word, that F word coming out, and I'm referring to obviously four in golf vernacular. You want to know how to protect yourself. And, of course, the last one, really the four rules for teaching juniors. I think some great advice. Thanks, Golf Digest. I like to hear stuff like that. I as I've been before, I don't like to be too critical of magazines, but with this day and age, with so much advertising out there, it's nice to see some great tips in there as well. So thanks to Golf Digest for those tips to help make this segment a little bit better under the good category. Under the bad category, I'm going to talk about instructors, and I'm really not going to talk about anything that you're doing wrong in a teaching aspect, but I think it's something that a lot of instructors have a habit of doing, and I think it's only and teachers do in general. I think anybody that has been given a gift to teach others really should look at that as a blessing. And you're not always going to be successful with a student. And so, under the bad segment, really the topic that I want to sort of talk about here is. Taking your students' poor performance home with you. So, in other words, first and foremost, don't do that. A lot of great instructors out there. Sometimes, you know, you'll have a great day. You might have a number of lessons lined up for the day, and they all might go fairly well. But then the next day, you might have a couple of you know, students out there that are just not not hitting well and just not grasping. And here's something that you know, we've all experienced in at one time or another, perhaps more than we really care to think about. A student is completely unable to grasp our teaching despite our best efforts, and he or she is showing no improvement under, you know, your tutelage. To a conscientious teacher, this is a very troubling. Teachers who care to who tend to care to take their students' poor performances home with them, and this can really lead to all sorts of sort of soul searching, and you know, ranging from individual questions about how to better approach that particular student, or even wondering if they're really competent as a teacher in the first place. And this is really that particular area right there is really, I think, for more of the junior teachers, the ones that are just the up and starters, as you will. I think the more seasoned professionals have sort of learned to overcome this. I mean, I'm sure they still take some bad memories home with them, and really you shouldn't. You know, your students, if you're doing the things that you've been taught and explaining it as best as you can, the majority of your students are going to grasp it. Some may take longer than others, but don't beat yourself up and don't take that home. And you know, just to show you that it happens to everybody, here's a really some great advice that I was reading as well. If you've ever watched some of the Hank Haney project on the Golf Channel, where he'll teach some of the celebrity amateur golfers, you've certainly heard him pass, you know, you heard Hank Haney pass the students' failures and setbacks off onto the students' shoulders. In other words, it wasn't Hank Haney's fault. This is no way to imply that Hank Haney doesn't care, but it rather shows that he has learned that as a teacher, he can't always be responsible for students who don't get it. So there's going to be some students out there that are just not going to grasp what it is that you're teaching. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to be much more difficult to learn the process, learn what some of the lessons that you're teaching them. So, and that doesn't mean that you be super critical against that student, but don't leap it onto your shoulders and assume that you're a bad teacher. You know, for every failure out there, I'm sure you've had many, many successes out there. So look at it that way, that sometimes if you've been working with a student for any length of time and you're just really finding yourself frustrated that you're not making headway, as much as I know you don't want to lose that student, sometimes you just may not be as good of a fit with that particular student as what originally you thought you were. And sometimes it might be better, especially at a facility where there might be multiple professionals there teaching, you might want to consider talking to one of the other professionals and having them transfer that student into their lesson format. Sometimes it can be a matter of just changing the instructors. I know you hate to lose a student, but sometimes it may not be a good fit from day one, and it's best to do that transfer and let somebody else have a crack at it. They may just have that way or approach to deal with that particular student, and it may end up turning around. And ultimately, what we want in this game is it's not just you know, a numbers game to see how many students we can get through our facility or get through our teaching. It's really about bringing and introducing more people to the game and helping those that have already been in the game for some time make it a more enjoyable thing. So sometimes it's okay to say no, or sometimes it's okay to say, you know what, maybe this isn't a good fit, you and I. Let's try so-and-so over here. Maybe they can help your game a little bit better. And it's okay to still hold your head up high. And the student's probably going to respect that, that you're not just out to make money, that you're not just out there to get them into your facility and under your care. If it's just not meshing with that particular student, sometimes it's better to let that student go and try another instructor, or maybe just not you know, continue altogether, depending on the circumstance. So that's something that I wanted to put in the bad, because I really think that there are a lot of teaching professionals out there that I'm sure that are taking their students' poor performances home with them. So guys and gals out there in the teaching profession, and you coaches as well, that are teaching at the collegiate levels, you know, don't beat yourselves up if somebody isn't getting it or isn't understanding. We all learn in different ways. Some people learn visually. Some people, you know, learn more by talking with them and explaining things in more detail. Some people are very detail-oriented. Others need to visually see what's going on. So it might be a matter of making some adjustments. to your teaching method with that particular student, or as I said, it may be having to pass them on to somebody else that may mesh a little bit better with them than what you are. So nothing to put yourselves down about. It's just a fact of life that we're not going to always get an A student while teaching out there. So that was just something I wanted to share with you as well. And I put that under the bad category, not that it's really a bad thing, but it's bad for instructors, I think, to beat themselves up. So that was kind of why I put that under there. And as I mentioned, the ugly category, you know, I really struggle with this because I don't like to really throw, you know, anything in that category in golf. Obviously, I love to play golf and love to teach golf. But every once in a while, something will come along and kind of catch my thing. And actually, it wasn't really golf at all that brought me to the conclusion of what I was going to talk about tonight. It was really the media, and it was with reference to some recent news that's come out, and it's actually in the football. For those of you that are familiar with the Southeastern Conference football that goes on down here, there's been a recent talk in the media about the FSU quarterback, Jameis Winston, of course, has been accused of sexual assault. And you're probably saying to me the first thing that's going through your mind, well, this is a golf program. Why are you talking about football? Well, I'm not going to talk about football, and that's really all I'm going to say about it. I just wanted to – this was the reason why I did it. And it really prompted me to throw this in the ugly category for two reasons. There's really two sides to this equation. The first is in recent weeks – for those of you that remember back in one of the tournaments just a few weeks ago, and I don't recall, to be honest, off the top of my head, but Tiger Woods, of course, was criticized for a rules infraction by Brandel Chamblee. And there's really two parts of this that I want to talk about. The first off, the media has to take let me back up. Let's talk about really the sports and the sportsman, and in this case, I'm going to talk about Tiger Woods. The one thing that I think somebody, particularly at Tiger's level, has to understand, and I kind of alluded to it, and this is why I mentioned it earlier about him. You know, Tiger certainly has made some mistakes in recent years that he was very highly criticized for. Some I certainly agree with. I think it was not right for him to do the things that he did, but that's a personal and moral thing on my end of it, and I'm not here to be his judge and jury. You know, he has to come to terms with that himself. But when you're at that level, sometimes you have to use good judgment, and this is why I mentioned this particular player on the FSU, excuse me, the quarterback for FSU, which is Florida State University, why I brought him up. I don't know what's happened. It's a very recent breaking story, but essentially he's been accused of sexual assault, and it's just sort of making the headwaves now. It was on ESPN this morning and at lunchtime, and that was sort of what brought my attention. I don't know what the facts are. There's only, you know, some allegations at this point that somebody has brought forth, but when you get in a competitive level that players like Jameis Winston and of FSU, and obviously Tiger Woods, you're going to be scrutinized, whether you like it or not. When you get to play at that level, at a higher level, whether it be at a collegiate level or in a professional tour such as Tiger's playing, you have to literally look over your shoulder, because there's, I guarantee it, especially in Tiger's case, there's somebody either, i.e. with a camera or some sort of recording device, either getting everything that you're saying or everything that you're doing. And obviously, we all make mistakes in life, but if you continue to use poor judgment, especially when you're somebody that is of such notoriety and in a public figure such as Tiger Woods, you're going to get bombarded by the media. And that's certainly what happened with Tiger a couple of years back when his life was unfolding there for a while. And even though he's, you know, as I said earlier, he is moving forward with that and you know, certainly had given his apologies. Whether you agree with him the way it was handled or not, you know, really at this point it's irrelevant. That's what he chose to do. He's the one that has to live with the consequences. Obviously, there were a lot of fans that were turned off because of his conduct. Just on that alone, but some also obviously felt that his apologies really weren't as sincere, and it was more scripted, and you just, you know, for the sake of moving on. So this is something that from the playing side, that I think that when you're in the public eye like that, as I said, as Tiger is, you need to be cognizant of what's going on, because the media does have the right to report that. If you're getting millions of dollars in endorsements and you're projecting one image and you're doing something different, again, that doesn't mean that you're never allowed to make mistakes in your life, but if you're projecting one image in the public's eye and you're conducting yourself in a different way, then you're going to be susceptible to scrutiny. And the media certainly has every right, and should, within reason. Now, having said that, on the other side of this, where I think it gets a little bit uglier, and of course, those of you that have read the many articles pertaining to what I was talking about a moment ago about Tiger's rules infraction, Brandel Chamblee, of course, with the Golf Channel, was very critical and made some comments, which he has certainly gotten a lot of blowback for. I certainly don't have an issue with Brandel making the comments that he did, and I'm not going to get into the story. I mean, I'm sure you've all read it, and you can, as I said, you can Google and go under a bunch of different areas to find it with the whole story if somebody that's missed it. But basically, Tiger used of cheating in the rules infraction, and Brandel obviously pointed this out and made some comments that were not very well received. Obviously, in the Tiger camp, there were talks by his agent, Mark Steinberg, certainly railed at Chamblee in the press and threatened lawsuits and, you know, basically who dares speak out against the king. Well, as I said, you know, even though we all make mistakes, sometimes good judgment has to be there. And obviously, in that particular case, I personally don't feel that Tiger used the best judgment that he could have. But nevertheless, that it's his life, and you know he needs to handle things the way that he chooses to handle. But as far as the media is concerned, certainly have every right to report these instances, much like they're doing with the FSU quarterback Jameis Winston. But at the same time, I think what ends up happening with the media, and this is why I wanted to talk about it, is there's a tendency to not really report the story, but to lash out with allegations and without really having all of the facts there. And I just think there's been too much of that has gone on, and I think society really needs to take a look at itself and say, is this what we want to do? There are so many great, great players, great athletes out there, great golf instructors and teachers and mental coaches and things out there that the media could be propping up and giving really much more attention and focus. There's some great people that are doing some fantastic work out there. And I'm going to, in a moment or two, I'm going to read some of the names out there that have been on this program that I think are doing some fantastic work. But just to clarify a little bit about the media, I've had some issues with Brandel, certainly not personally. I don't know him personally. He's made some comments over the years that he's been on the Golf Channel that I just think that really aren't relevant. And I don't want to see the Golf Channel turning into, golf's version of tabloid television. The Golf Channel, in my opinion, maybe I'm wrong, but it's there really to report on the tours, what's happening. Certainly want to hear about the players and things like that. And, you know, if things are newsworthy, as was with Tigers, certainly the Golf Channel has, I feel, an obligation, really, to not only report the good stuff, but sometimes they have to bring to light the bad stuff. But I just think that when it gets to a point where every minutia of the story is being, there's just a lot of news networks out there that are doing this. And to be quite frankly, I get tired of it day in, day out, and I to the point where I stop watching a lot of these news outlets because of it. And it's on both sides. It's not just the left side or the right side, as we often hear in political terms. But there's just a lot of the media wants to put their spin. Again, I don't begrudge them bringing these stories to light, especially with players at the caliber of the PGA Tour and the LPGA. But just to give you an example, when was the last time you heard some scathing story come off the LPGA or even the Champions Tour. It just goes to show you that that some of these younger players maybe need to get their act together, perhaps from time to time. But nevertheless, I don't think it warrants sinking to the level of a TMZ or some of these other networks out there and media outlets that choose to include in their format bashing of somebody that has tried to build a career in this particular case in the PGA Tour. And so Brandel, is one of these individuals who does a lot of great reporting and has certainly been an asset to not only the Golf Channel, but a number of key publications with his insight and knowledge, being a tour player, a former tour player himself. But at the same time, Brandel, I think that, getting in and making accusations or comments that you know are not going to be well received, I know it's part of being in the journalism business, but at the same time, how about spending an equal amount of time talking about some of the men and women out there that are doing great things in the game and not focusing on what somebody's doing wrong or in your opinion, think that they should be doing better. Certainly want to hear your opinions in the media, but at the same time, I think the media has become very slanted in its reporting in all levels, and it's been seeping into the Golf Channel over the last few years, and it's really, I'll be quite honest, it's turned me off a little bit at times. Not all the time. I still enjoy watching the tournaments now, but every once in a while they'll come out with things like that, and that was a good example when Tiger Woods, had his missteps a few years ago. But that was why I put it in the ugly category, was I just feel that the media and also the players have to start being better stewards of the game. Golf is really one of the only sports out there that for a very long, long time has been held in very high regard. And I think that there's many, many great ways that we can continue to do that and building up the game and sinking to the level. And again, I'm not trying to just pick on the Golf Channel, but the Golf Channel has gotten into it. ESPN Network has also, from time to time, I've seen this on their program, not so much in the golf, but in other areas. And I just think it's time that the media starts really taking a serious look at what they want to do. Do they want to continue to report salacious stories like this all the time and again, get into every minutia detail? Is that the type of product that you want to put out there? There's a lot of people out there that are getting turned off, and I'm certainly one of them. And there's a lot, as I said, there's a lot of great stories out there. As I mentioned earlier, Nicole Weller, a head teaching professional at the Landings Club up in Savannah, Georgia. Here's a fantastic young lady who does great work up the Landings Club, works with particularly with juniors, but obviously golfers of all ages. She's just a phenomenal person. Love having her on this program, and I hope to get her on many, many times next year to talk about some of the great things that she's doing up at the Landings Club. And also her husband, Ty, also a teacher professional up at the Landings Club as well. Haven't had the pleasure of having him on this program, but I'm going to keep working. Nicole and I are going to work on getting him on the program too. I think he's a little shyer than Nicole, so it might be a little more difficult, but we're going to work on you, Ty. But anyways, another one is Brian Dobby, who is the 2012 NJPGA Teacher of the Year, and he's up teaching at the Montclair Golf Club in West Orange, New Jersey. Another great teacher professional who I would love to hear more about in the media. I would love to hear not just locally, but let's talk about some of these people on the Golf Channel and ESPN. Let's talk about some of the great teacher professionals as well as the players and start giving them a voice, if you will. Fellow Canadian Deanna Zenger, who is the Executive Director of Association of Golf Fitness Professionals and the Hole-in-One Pilates. She was on talking about the fitness side back in June. Another great a great young lady who is doing wonderful things all over the world in the golf end of it, not just teaching, but also helping those in the teaching professional take it up one more level by certifying them in the fitness end of things and just doing a lot of great programs, Nat, and enjoyed having her on the program. I'm going to have her back on as well. Trent Warner, who many of you probably know from the Inglewood, Colorado area, also the author of Golf Scrimmages. He's the obviously runs the Trent Warner Golf in Colorado. He was a guest on the show as well, and in fact, on the same day as Deanna. You know, so I want to hear more about people like that in the media. Why, you know, why isn't the Golf Channel and some of the other big sites, why aren't they talking about these people more and more? Coach Tom Shaw, TPI certified. He was a 12-year Division I coach, both at Vanderbilt and Tulane University, and obviously the founder of College Golf Game Plan. These are great people who I've had the pleasure of having as guests on my program. Don Law, top teaching professional, who started his own academy in 1999, and has grown to one of the largest teaching centers in Florida, and he's down in the Boca Raton, Florida area. Chuck Evans, another one, executive director of instruction at the Medicus Golf Academies up in Kansas City, Missouri. You know, some great, great teaching pros. Steve Pratt, out in Westlake Village, California, who is a teaching professional studying under the Mike Austin Golf Swing. You know, he's out in Westlake Village, as I said, in California. He works with a lot of the long drive champions and just doing some great stuff there as well. I'd love to hear more and more about, people like Steve Pratt. Of course, we had author and mind coach and speaker, Randy Friedman, was on the program as well. She's another great great person in this industry. She's a golf pro as well at Golf Mind Power, LLC. And she was the author of a great book, came out in 2008, Your Inner Swing, which obviously focused on the mental side of golf. Great, great lady. Had the pleasure of having her on the program as well to talk about the mental side. And these are people that I wanted to introduce. This is what I'm doing on my program, is introducing people who are making a difference in the golf community for the good. They're not only working with students, but working at a corporate level as well, and just working at the highest level of the game all across this nation. Another great young lady that I had in August, Meredith Kirk. Not only is she an LPGA member, but a USGTF Level 3 certified golf teaching professional, doing a lot of great things out in the Myrtle Beach, South Carolina area. And I since it's now official, I'm going to mention this on here as well. Congratulations to Meredith Kirk. She was crowned the 2014 Mrs. South Carolina, in the last week or so. So congratulations to Meredith Kirk for being crowned the Mrs. South Carolina America 2014. Congratulations and much continued success. But just a great teaching professional. She's obviously wanted to pursue some personal things as well, and that's why she entered into the pageant. And she was successful and was now crowned the next Mrs. South Carolina. So, you know, great people like Meredith who pursue their dreams and their passions and do a lot of great things, not only with juniors, but all of you golfers out there that need some help. So make sure that you search these people, seek these people out, when you're in those areas, whether it be Myrtle Beach or out in California. Another great gentleman who I love having on, had loved having on the program, he came on with his daughter, Barry Goldstein, top 25 golf teacher, living sort of between up in New York State and obviously down in Coral Springs, Florida. He's the proud father of Carly Rae Goldstein, who was a world and national champion. Carly Rae was on the program back in August as well. And they came on and talked about her career and some of the things that they did together. This young lady won 100 tournaments in her career before she actually reached the age of 18 and is now, of course, off diligently studying at LSU in Louisiana, and she's playing obviously for the golf team, the LSU Tigers. So certainly want to wish her much success. But there's another example of an up-and-coming young lady who just turned 18 as she was going into college and has 100 tournaments, both as a national and a world champion, before she even got into the collegiate level. So, you know, she's obviously put a lot of hard work and a lot of effort in there. And, of course, her father, Barry Goldstein, has been there and very supportive. As for those of you that tuned into that particular episode, that was August 8th. If you didn't get that, you need to go and listen to it. If you want to know how to raise your youngster right, there's a great way, great man to model yourself after. And, of course, I had another great teacher professional, Clint Wright, PGA teacher professional at the R3 Golf Academy up in Pendleton, South Carolina, another East Coaster, if you will. David Wedzik, Worldwide Director of Instruction for Medicus Golf, another great gentleman as well. So these are people that I want to bring on the program, and this is what I want the media to be focusing on is let's not just talk about these people in their local municipalities, but let's talk about these in the golf industry and more publications and things like that. Let's focus on some of these great people and get them out there. Just some other ones as well. Another great gentleman that I enjoyed having on the program was Mr. Bernie Pinder, who was the founder and president of Ontic Golf. And, of course, as I mentioned before, Barry Goldstein, he was one of the VPs now with Ontic Golf. So he's helping Bernie. Bernie has a great line of custom-designed putters, one of which now I have in my hot little hands, and thank you, Bernie. So these are some great people, many, many more. Of course, Dr. Greg Ortman is also part of the Ontic Golf Group, and he was also the author of Golfology. So you want to make sure you pick that up. And, of course, many, many others on there. Diana DeLucia, who came out with a fantastic book, Golf Club World, Behind the Gates. Talked to her just recently in the last few weeks. And, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about another great steward of the game, somebody that I'm very, very proud to have had on the show, of course, the legendary Billy Casper, who was on November 7th. And he was joined by an associate, Kent Novus of Nine Hour Sports Drink, as I gave a little earlier plug, and I'm going to give up another plug right now. If you haven't tried this product, visit Nine Iron Drink. I believe it's Nine Iron Drink sportsdrink.com. I'll get that correct before I sign off tonight. But definitely try that product. It's fantastic. And, of course, Billy is a spokesperson for that. But you want to talk about a true gentleman who's lived really an honorable life. He's 82 years old, as he had indicated on the program. He's had a phenomenal career, 51 PGA Tour events, three of the majors, two U.S. Opens, and the 1970 Masters. You know, just a really great great guy. And, of course, last week I had really a phenomenal guest, Mr. Scott Seiferlein from up at Grand Rapids, Michigan. Has a successful business up there and works very diligently, not only with the students, but also with other teaching professionals, helping them on the business side. So a lot of great people have been on the program. I'm very, very proud and feel very honored to have all of them on here. And I hope that many of them will come back in the future in other segments. I know many of them, as I said earlier, committed with the program, Coach's Corner, that I'm launching next year in around March, as I said earlier, probably March 6th. We'll be having that segment. So a lot of great people in the industry. So just to sort of close out the good, the bad, and the ugly, the group that I just read to you right now, this is what we need to be focusing on in the golf industry, is fantastic people, not only in the teaching end, but some great authors that are giving their all and working in the golf industry to make it a better sport and to rise it up even to a higher level than what it has been. And this is what I would like. So to close out the ugly segment, to those in the media, take a lesson from these people here. They go out every day and do good work. And I think that if you want to do good work as well, you certainly need to report the news. That's what you're there for. But don't spend the majority of your time focusing on the negative aspects of golf, but rather focus on the positive aspects. And I think that people will enjoy it and be more inclined to want to not only take up the sport, but be involved and continue to tune into the different programs. I'm not 100% sure what's going to happen with the guest tonight for some reason. I don't know whether he's run into some difficulties or not, but I'm going to give him just a little bit longer. Obviously, as you can gather, I can certainly talk up a storm, so I have no problems with running out of topics here. I'm going to give him a little bit longer, and for some reason, if we don't connect in the next little bit, I'm probably going to end the show tonight a little bit earlier, and we'll try and reschedule. I would certainly would be unfortunate. I think Jim would be a good guest to have on this evening. He did have a great business that he has put together, the RV Golf Club. But as I said, for some reason, I'm not sure. He hasn't contacted the program as of yet, and I suspect it may be an issue with the time. He may have gotten the times confused. I will certainly I've actually emailed him during the program, so I'm not sure, as I said, what's going on there. But in the meantime, what I'm going to do is just to talk a little bit again about something that I started earlier in the program, and that is the Southeastern Collegiate Golf Tour. As I mentioned, it's a nonprofit organization. There's a tournament coming up here that's actually one of the sponsors is Hardee's. There's a lot of great sponsors involved with this particular tour, and I'm going to name a few of them just to give them. Obviously, the Southeastern Collegiate Golf Tour is the heading under here, Hardee's. Bridgestone Golf is also involved with the tour as well. Pro Fusion Marketing, Wrong Brothers Flight Training Wing company is also in Dasani. Water, of course, is with them. The Optimus Golf and the Ferguson Airport is one of the sponsors as well of this tour. And sorry, I apologize. There was one other one, Jay Lindbergh. Was also another one that's involved with as well. But just to sort of recap, the Hardee's Old River Optimus Collegiate at Perdido Bay Golf Course in Pensacola, Florida is going to be December 27th to the 30th. There's still some openings available. So for those of you that you want to, and just to let you know what's included in the package, I don't have the details as far as pricing and things like that, but in the package, it's an all-inclusive package that includes 3 nights lodging, 3 days breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 4 rounds of golf, including a practice round, and 3 competitive rounds. Included with that is a Jay Lindbergh golf shirt, a dozen Bridgestone golf balls, and dinner included will be a ribeye steak dinner and smoked barbecue dinner and, of course, a pizza and wing party. And this is for the collegiate level. Mark Nace, who is the executive director of the Southeastern Collegiate Golf Tour, is going to be coming on December 5th. He's going to talk a little bit more about the tour, how it sort of came about and the reasons being. But one of the really great things about this, a lot of the collegiate players do not necessarily receive full scholarships and play for their respective colleges and or universities. So what Southeastern Collegiate Golf Tour is now able to offer with thanks of great sponsors like Hardee's, is they're able to, for the winners of these particular events, they're able to give out a $5,000 in scholarship dollars to the winners of each of the tournaments, both in the men and women. So, of course, again, this is achieved by the sponsor dollars that Hardee's has matched. So there's a definite benefit, and I just want to bring this to your attention. For those of you that are particularly in the Southeast here, certainly get out and support the tournament. And if you want to contact Mark Nace, you can certainly do so at the Southeastern Collegiate Golf Tour. And you can reach him at his email is mark@secgt.com, or you can certainly give him a call at area code 850-390-2001. He'd be more than happy to give you the rundown of the next year's schedule if you're too late for this year. But there's still some time. I believe as of today, they had 48 players registered for the tournament coming up in December with a maximum of 72 in the field. So there's still some room there for you last-minute collegiate players that want to participate. So if you need to want to sign up for that, you certainly have some time left. You can contact Mark, as I said, at mark@secgt.com or at 850-390-2001. And that's Mark Nace, the executive director of the Southeastern Collegiate Golf Tour. And he'll be joining me here on Golf Talk Live December 5th to talk a little bit more about the tour and some of the things that are going to be happening in the new year. And will give us an update on the golf schedule as well. I believe there's 6 annual tournaments, 6 tournaments, excuse me, throughout the year, and he'll provide me with those dates, and we'll certainly let you be aware of them as well. But what a great program, and really what the South Collegiate, Southeastern, excuse me, Collegiate Golf Tour does, it provides really a tour quality events for these younger men and women who are sort of working their way up through the ranks, if you will. And what's happening is it not only provides them with a great venue, but provides them with a way to be able to practice and prepare for things like the web.com tour and eventually to the PGA or even LPGA tour and get into some of those events. And some former tour players have been involved through this. So it's a great organization, and certainly want to make you aware of that. And as I said, Mark Naze, the executive director, will be on this program on December 5th. A lot of great guests, as I said, coming up in the month of December. Just to remind those of you that are tuning in a little bit later in the program, my special guest this evening was going to be, and I suspect that something has come up here, and we'll try and reschedule, but Jim Vernes, he was the owner of RV Golf Club. And basically what it is, let me just give you a little quick rundown here of what it is. I'll give it a little plug anyways, but I'll let him talk about more. What he has done is he's put together, it's a recreational vehicle organization. So for those of you that like to RV and you're across this nation or even into Canada, he's provided a program through membership that provides free parking at, I believe there's over 330 golf courses across Canada and the U.S. that have signed up for the program. And basically it provides free parking at these golf courses in their parking facilities, or their lots, if you will, at the golf course. And it has an annual membership to join this club. I believe it's $49 for the membership. But basically, as he indicates in some of the information he sent me, there are really over 9 million RV owners in the country, 5 million of them who are full-timers living in their RVs. They've got money, they've got time, and the desire to play golf. So he came up with this concept, the RV Golf Club, that really to help really come up with a creative way to increase revenues. A lot of the country clubs and a lot of the courses out there who have been struggling with this recession are looking for ways to increase their revenues. And, of course, they all have parking lots that sit vacant all night. So RV Golf Club wanted to introduce these golf courses to really a whole new demographic of customer with a simple yet insightful idea in introducing the RV world to the RV-friendly golf courses. And that's what he's done here. And it's growing. He's getting more and more courses coming on, and he's getting more and more members. So it's really a great great business model when you think of it, because, as I said, there's over 9 million RV owners in the country. So that's a pretty big market that's not been tapped into. And he's started this up, I believe, in 2012 was when he launched this. And he's already accumulated, as I said, I believe over 330 golf courses across the United States and Canada. And basically they park their RV for free at the RV Club Partner courses. They receive a discount on green fees, food and beverages, shopping and services at most of the courses. A lot of them will spend their money enjoying a peaceful and a beautiful environment. And as I said, over 330 courses have signed up from coast to coast in the U.S. and Canada, and literally adding more weekly. I just wanted to quickly double check on the fee. The annual fee is membership fee is $49, or you can sign up for a one-time lifetime fee of $245, which will literally save you thousands of dollars over the time of this membership. At the same time, it's going to save you. A lot of these courses are offering discounts to play on the courses. And if you think about it, really, it's a great idea, because there are a lot of courses who have been struggling. Unfortunately, some of them have even gone under. And they're looking really for, as I said, as Jim had indicated in his notes, really creative ways to reach out to people. And a lot of the people that drive coast to coast and up into Canada in their RVs are looking for a place to stay. And a lot of the RV parks, of course, charge and things like that. So he created a way, and some people might think, well, how does the course benefit? Well, the course benefits because a lot of these people play golf. So they will play a round of golf there. And really it's costing the course nothing to have the RVs out in their lot, because it's overnight. And, it's not interfering with the regular crowds coming in. There's plenty of room at most of these golf courses. And they're up and gone, within a day or so anyways. They're certainly not setting up shop there, but it's a great business model, and I would certainly love to have Jim explain more of it here. But as I said, unfortunately, I think there's been a time difference here, maybe confusion on the time, and for some reason Jim hasn't been in touch. But I'm going to have him back on the program to talk more about it. And so I certainly want to apologize for those of you that tuned in this evening to hear a little bit about that. But as I said, unfortunately, there's been some sort of a conflict with the time, I believe, and it is what I expect. And I'm hoping that's all it is. I'm hoping it's nothing worse than that. But we'll certainly have Jim come back on another time. But just to remind you, for those of you that want to tune in each and every week, the program airs live 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time here on blogtalkradio.com/golftalklive. There's a lot of great guests that I mentioned earlier just a little while ago in my Good and Bad and Ugly segment. I read off quite a few of the guests that had been on. There were more. I didn't want to take up too much more time on that. But if you missed any of the episodes, I strongly urge you to go back to the main page at blogtalkradio.com/golftalklive. If you weren't able to tune into the regular program, the live version, every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, you can go back after the show airs and listen to the recorded version. So if you've missed a show, if some of the names that I read off, if you recognize the name and maybe didn't catch that particular episode, please go back. You can go back as far as you want. Once you click on the main link, it will bring up the home page, and you can actually scroll down, and there's an on-demand section. For those of you that are linked up with iTunes, there's also the ability, you can click on iTunes and you can actually download all of the episodes through iTunes and then sync them with your device and listen to them at your leisure. And what it'll actually do is once you've done the initial link, you can actually go back and download each episode. So if you aren't able to tune into the live broadcast for whatever reason, maybe your schedule doesn't work with this particular time slot, not a problem. I'm grateful for those that are tuning in live, but I'm also grateful for those that go back and listen to the podcast recorded version later on. And you can do that through iTunes as well. Again, I would really appreciate it for those of you that want to email me. If you've got maybe some questions that you want me to read or answer here on Golf Talk Live, I'd be more than happy to do that. You can contact me at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. That's ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. And when you're surfing around on Facebook anyways, I would appreciate it if you go to Facebook, and it's facebook.com/golftalklive blog. Make sure it says Golf Talk Live blog at the end, and throw a few likes our way. And you're welcome to post a comment or two on there about some of the shows that you listen to. And I always read everything and look forward to your support. And I want to thank all of those that have supported this program throughout its inception. Not a big Twitter person, but I do check the tweets and I do respond to them. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at Ted and Buck CEO, and that's TEDANDBUCK, all lowercase, and then uppercase, the last three letters, capital CEO, as I am the CEO of Ted and Buck Golf Enterprises. That is my Twitter handle, Ted and Buck CEO. Would certainly appreciate it, and thank you to all of those that have followed me the last few weeks, particularly since I've been announcing it. So thank you very much, and I believe I've followed most of you back. So I appreciate that, and so continue adding to the list. I think I'm over 603 or 4 followers on Twitter right now, which isn't too bad for somebody that doesn't do a lot. But I do tweet the program announcements go on there every week, and updates on the program. So you can certainly follow it that way, or as I said, you can follow it on Facebook at facebook.com/golftalklive blog and throw a few likes there while you're there. And finally, on the website, I've got some great people on the website. Many of the products that were on here I've put up on there now. There's a few of them up there now, and some of the books. I still have more books to put up there, but you can purchase through the links. You can click on the link under the book section, and the website is www.golftalkliveblog.com. If you click on that website and go over to both the book section, you can scroll down. There's some great books there by many of the guests that have been on the program. Some of them are teaching professionals. Some of them are just authors. There's going to be more coming up there. I've got some more authors coming in the new year that I'm going to be adding on there as well. And I'm doing that really as a professional courtesy. I don't get any proceeds from the books at all. I'm just putting it up there as a professional courtesy for spending time with me here on Golf Talk Live. Some great people came on here and shared their stories with me. Many more to come, as I said. And I really appreciate them adding to the content of the program. And I know that from much of the feedback that I've gotten back from you, the listeners, that you're enjoying some of the content, as well, and some of the guests. And I'm certainly going to continue having some great guests coming on the program in the future. And so for those of you that want to help them out and purchase a copy of the book, if you heard about it on there, they're on the website now. Again, there's more to come, but just visit www.golftalkliveblog.com and go to the book section and scroll down to the various books. Make some great Christmas gifts, guys, to that golfer in your family. Some really great stories there. Also, too, there's some great products on the website as well at golftalkliveblog.com. The most recent one added up on there, of course, is the Star Putter Putting Tool, which you heard a little snippet earlier. Chuck Cook, PGA Master Teaching Professional, has a short video on my website that I put up there as well. It talks a little bit about the Star Putter Putting Tool. Definitely a great product that you want to throw in the bag. Also, you heard me talk about the in-your-face view base. There's also, in addition to the view base, there's also a tripod mount as well, which really is a great product in itself for really for anybody, but I can see a lot of applications here in the golf business. The view base in itself, you can clip on to either a golf cart for you players out there that maybe have a GPS device, or app in your iPhones or smartphones. You can clamp it into the in-your-face view base and clamp it either onto your golf cart if you drive around the course, or if you walk, you can clamp it onto your golf bag and have instant access to your favorite golf apps. For those in the teaching profession that maybe like to use your smaller devices, such as your iPhone or your smartphone, maybe to shoot video of some of your students and things like that, you might want to take a look at the tripod mount by In-Your-Face as well. And that mounts on any standard tripod and just gives you a little steadier hand and frees up your hand, really, and you can shoot video with your iPhone or smartphone. So those are two great products as well by In-Your-Face, who Marion Cota was on the program. She's one of the developers and owners of In-Your-Face brand. Great products. Certainly something that you want to check out for that golfer for Christmas. And, of course, I would be remiss not to also talk about another great guest that I had on, Joe Watson, talked about the No Sweat Lotion or Spray. Rather, it's spray, not a lotion. Really what this product does, as I've mentioned before in the past, is allows you to really prevent your hands by spraying it on your hands before you play golf, and even during your round you can add to it. What it'll do is actually prevent your hands from sweating, so it just gives you better grip control, and it really comes in handy. I've used it a number of times. Joe sent me some samples off last year, and I used that before I even started the show, and I wanted to make sure that I had him on here, and he talked a little bit about it here a few weeks back, and him talk about the program, so forth. But you can also purchase that. I believe it's $8.99 a bottle per bottle for that, but you can get, obviously, multiple bottles. And I think it lasts, depending on how much you play, it's good for roughly about 50 applications. So plenty of rounds of golf you can play. But it's great. And what I recommend, too, for those of you that wear a glove, I would spray it on your hands before you put your glove on, because what it'll do is it'll help prevent your hand from sweating inside the glove, and conversely, getting the glove all wet and just makes it easier for playing your round of golf. So those are some great products that are on my website, the golftalkliveblog.com website, that you can purchase in time for Christmas. You just click on the link. All of the links on the website are secure. They go to will take you to actually their website once you click on to make the purchase. I'm just simply providing them some additional exposure on my website. But you can click on those website, and that goes for the books as well. It'll take you to a secure website so that you can make purchases, whether it be through Amazon.com or through their own websites. They all have secure websites, so you make sure that your purchases are secure and safe. I want to thank you this evening for tuning in, and again, I apologize that my guest, for whatever reason, wasn't able to make it onto the program, and I will certainly do my best to reschedule Jim on the program at a future date. I certainly want to give him opportunity, and I'm certain, hopefully, that nothing serious has happened, and it's just a matter of some sort of a schedule conflict or a timing issue. But nevertheless, I want to thank you for tuning in this evening and listening to me talk here on Golf Talk Live. I appreciate you guys coming in and tuning in each and every week, and I hope that you'll help spread the word about this program. I think we're trying to do some great things here. Got some great things in the future, as mentioned about the Coach's Corner segment starting in the new year, and also the other program, Women of Golf, which I'm going to be sharing the stage, if you will, a little bit with former LPGA player Cindy Miller. She's going to be joining me here as well in the new year, and we're probably going to start that as well, I gather, in around the March area. So a lot of great things. Lastly, as I said to a number of you that tune into the program, I am going to be heading down in January, which is, I think, the third week of January, to the PGA Merchandising Show in Orlando. I'm going to be heading down there in January, so hope to see some of you down there. I want to thank you again for tuning in to Golf Talk Live, and I will not be on the air next week through Thanksgiving, but will be returning with my guest Mark Mays, of the executive director of the Southeastern Collegiate Golf Tour. He'll be joining me back here on December 5th here on Golf Talk Live. Thank you very much for tuning into tonight's episode. And again, I apologize that my guest wasn't able to make it on this evening, but we'll get him back here. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great week and have a great happy Thanksgiving to all of you out there, to all of my friends and to all of you listening here on Golf Talk Live. Have a great Thanksgiving. And I will see you back here on December 5th. Thank you. Have a great evening. God bless.